You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement. Y'all join me with this here this morning. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And we're going to continue this morning with a study through Jesus' words and actions. I want you to take a look at this picture. Does it look like it might be in the Bahamas? Maybe down south of the border? Maybe maybe the tropics somewhere? Anybody have any ideas? That is a waterfall here in Georgetown. Oh, Kim, where is this?
That is in Georgetown. It's part of my
Cedar Breaks. Yep, the park there.
There's a trail. You can walk from Cedar Breaks all the way to Taos, which that is not, but it's 5.7 mile
trip by foot. There are no donkeys or pack mules on that trail. We looked for Uber, but we couldn't find Uber. Not good cell reception there. There's something, yeah, and there's some trees that are growing up there in the waterway. The water is up. It's beautiful there in the lake. It's absolutely gorgeous. There's a spring, natural spring. It just comes down off the mountainside there, and just beautiful, and the sound is wonderful. Does it make you want to go on vacation a little bit? How do you define vacation in your life? How do you define vacation? Just think about that for a minute. What is vacation for me? So vacation for me has changed over the years as a single guy growing up in my family. There was one thing that we would do as a family growing up, and then as I moved out and moved to Texas, vacation became something different. And then when I got married, vacation became something, and then children became something, and more children became something again. Vacation is not necessarily what it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we'd jump in the car and Dad had a map and we'd drive for hours and hours to our destination. Maybe he'd let us stop at a bathroom if we didn't need gas, but maybe not. You know, I'll know how that goes. There are those moments in our lives and in our past that we can think of a place where we just let everything go, where we relaxed. It's important for us to take time to slow down. Do you think Jesus cares in our lives whether or not we slow down, whether or not we rest, whether we take care of ourselves? God in the scriptures set up for the children of Israel as they're leaving Egypt. These were slaves. They worked 24/7, basically, at the will and the beck and call of their slave owners. And so as God is bringing them out of Egypt, he begins to put a rhythm into their life that is a natural rhythm that we see in nature. Right now, we're in the season called, I don't know what, here in Texas. In other parts of the world, we would call it winter. But here in Texas, we call it Texas weather. So what is winter for? Winter is an opportunity for the trees, for the shrubs, the plants, the earth, to do what? Rest, go dormant. It's important for nature to have this rest. And yet we as humans, we somehow get on that treadmill of life and we just ride it until we can't ride it anymore. And our bodies begin to tell us this isn't healthy. Have you ever come home after a time of vacation and felt, wow, I'm fresher, I'm sharper, I'm able to think and to move in different directions? So God engineered into the lives of the children of Israel a weekly time to have rest. They call it Shabbat. It was Saturday for the Hebrew people. It began at sundown on Friday night and went all the way to sundown on Saturday. And it was a time for everybody to put their work aside. For me, practically, I have to take my phone and I have to put it on the nightstand in the bedroom and leave it there. Because otherwise, what continues to buzz in my pocket throughout the day that I'm trying to focus on my wife and my kids and resting, doing something different other than my daily routine. So this idea of incorporating rest into our lives, of slowing down, it's not a foreign concept to the scriptures. And actually, it's foundational for us. How many of you have trouble stopping and resting? Again, rest is changing the rhythm of your life. During a period of time, having a different rhythm. I get up at a certain time. I go to work. I come home. I go to bed. Is there time and space in your life where you stop and you pause and you have a different rhythm? It's hard for me sometimes to do that. I have to force myself. When was the last time you had a cold or you felt, ugh, and you physically we're like, I can't get up out of bed and do what I normally do. That's our body beginning to remind us, hey, by the way, there are cellular needs, the very core of who we are, and God has designed us and created us to be, to stop and to get rest in our lives. Jesus puts it this way in Luke's gospel. If you have your scriptures with you, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be in verse 24. This is what he says to his disciples. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Let's just pause right now. Let's just pause. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. Sometimes as your kids, we need a little direction, we need a little understanding, we need your correction as well. And so I just ask you to just speak into our hearts right now through all the noise and all the distraction that's going around us in our world, in our lives, in our families, all of the pressure to do and to go. We just ask that you would just be able to speak through all of that and give us just a little bit of truth and a little bit of light this morning to continue to move us into the men and the women that you have designed and created us to be. We thank you for spiritual health, spiritual life. We thank you for physical health and physical life. And we stop right now and we acknowledge that you have designed our souls to be alive and to be well. And we just ask you to work in all three areas of who we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus specifically is talking about an issue of faith. So I don't know about you, but my busyness problem, my I can't stop, I always have something to do, has to do with the almighty dollar. It has to do with providing for my family and caring for my wife and my kids. Jesus here is talking about our faith and how we relate to those things around us that demand our time and take our priority in life. Jesus doesn't say that it's bad for us to go out and to have things, but he does say that there can be a shift in the way that we interact with those needs that we have in our lives. There's a simple trust when a raven or a bird in the sky leaves its nest first thing in the morning. What does it begin doing? Begins looking for what it needs next. A bird is present in the moment. A bird isn't concerned about what is going to happen in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years when I retire. No, a bird is just present. What are the needs right now that I need to be focusing on seeing met? And maybe we could take it further. My life, but also in the lives of those around me. How can I be present to this moment and the needs and not present somewhere else in the future that's in God's hands that hasn't come to my hands yet? Have you noticed how easy that is to do? to begin to think, okay, what do my hands need to have in them in the future? And I'm not in the future yet. I haven't gotten there. Have you ever been in that moment, that place where you're like, how is this situation going to work out in my life? Maybe it was a financial moment. Maybe it was a relational moment. Maybe it was another facet of who you are, your being. And you begin to find yourself, where do I need to put my hands to get what I need to receive here in this situation or that situation? And instead of just being present to receive what God has for me to receive right there, in that time and in that space, I find myself in my mind putting myself into the future where God is, and where God is taking and preparing things for me. I put myself in that space, in that time, and I end up missing what God has for me right now. I miss the fact that God is providing for me right now, just like those birds that jump out of their nests in the morning and start to fly and look for their next meal and what they're going to need. I miss the fact that it's right there. So God has prepared a table for me in my life. God is blessing me in my life where I am. Jesus says that we are to consider. The simple definition of consider is to think carefully about something, typically before making a decision. Some of the synonyms: think about, contemplate, reflect, examine, review. Think about and be drawn toward a course of action. He had considered giving up his job, but he did what? He considered it. There's those times in our lives when we miss the moves that God would have for us to make because we're not considering. The word consider means that there is something that we are going to be moving into, something we're going to be moving towards. Not always in the physical world, sometimes in our spiritual life. Consider. Now, a lot of these words, I would immediately draw a connection to Scripture. Before I make a decision, I'm gonna think about God's Word. I'm gonna contemplate on God's Word. I'm gonna reflect on God's Word. I'm gonna examine God's Word. I'm gonna review God's Word. Y'all find yourselves that rings true? That's kind of our thought as a follower of Jesus, who has blessed us with God's holy written Word, God's Word. But yet in the Scripture, Jesus doesn't say, consider the Bible. What does he say? Consider nature. Consider God's creation. Consider the animals, the birds that God has designed. Have you ever noticed that God has created the world as a teacher for us, to help instruct and enlighten us in those moments in our lives when we miss it? I started this morning with, there's a cycle, there's a pattern. There are four seasons in our experience in life. Four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. And each season has a beginning and has an end. Each season has a purpose in preparing us for the next season of life. And there are times that we miss what is right before us, right in front of us. There aren't a whole lot of ravens here in my neighborhood, but I do see some crows every once in a while. I see some scrub jays, maybe a blue jay or two. When it's time for migration, we see a whole lot of different northern birds that come through the Texas area. When we stop and we see a bird flying, do we consider? What does that mean for me? What is it message for me and God's creation of seeing his creation do what it was designed and created to do? Do we have any bird watchers? Anyone? Any bird watchers? To be a bird watcher, you have to be a little crazy. Because to be a bird watcher, you have to go to where the birds are. And you know what? I don't have wings. And I don't see any wings on any of y'all angels here today. But as a bird watcher, you have to go to where the birds are. You have to find the birds. And again, I don't know if you've ever tried to chase a bird. I've watched my cat try to, I've watched Theodosia's cat chase some birds. Not my birds, or not my cat. To watch birds, you go out to where the bird is, and sometimes you go out to where the habitat of the bird is, where it lives, where it hunts, where it roosts, where it sets up shop, and you have to wait, and you wait, and you wait. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. Just a little bit south of town here, there's a wildlife refuge that was designed specifically for birds that are endangered, vireos. And what's the other bird that, it's the vireo, yeah. I don't know how many times I've been out there and have seen a bird watcher come. And you know a bird watcher when you see them because they have these huge binoculars, really heavy. They normally have a backpack, and sometimes they have a bird identification book. And they'll ask, have you seen a vireo? Have you seen a painted bunting? Have you seen a hummingbird? Have you seen this or that? Whatever bird is in their book that they're trying to check off their list of, I've found this. They're looking and they're seeking to find that bird. It's not always an easy process. But Jesus says, consider. So whatever birds happen to be around you, or maybe whatever birds you happen to be in the vicinity of this week, I want you to stop and I want you to just look and watch and be reminded that the birds are not consumed by a fear of, is my barn big enough? Do I need a bigger barn? No, the birds just trust that with the seasons, God will provide for them. It doesn't mean that the bird stays in its nest and never comes out and never looks and never spreads its wings. No, a bird is engaged. And so should we in seeking first God's kingdom in our lives, in stopping and reflecting on those things that are around us. Consider the ravens. Jesus goes on in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 27. He doesn't say... Yes, he does. He says, consider. So we have consider the ravens, and then we have consider the lilies. Would you all read this with me? Luke chapter 12, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. There's so many things in our world today and in our experience that's taking our attention away from what God would have for us to have our attention on. This week, I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people regarding our political environment, telling me how many people they've unfriended on Facebook or unfollowed because they're sick and tired of the polarizing issues, how frustrated it is to have this negativity that's constantly there, one direction or the other, how the noise is constantly, we're in trouble, we're doomed. Again, whichever side of the aisle you find yourself on, there is this very loud voice of, it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad. And it's going to get worse. And there's those times in our lives where we have to withdraw. And there's good reason and good times to step away from social media. Or when I turn on the radio in the morning to go to wherever I have to go, to go to music instead of my regular news show. Why? Because sometimes I need to step back and I need to consider the beauty that God has around me. Here Jesus is inviting us to consider something that we pass by over and over again. He says, consider the lilies of what? Of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. There's a problem sometimes within the human experience, and we call that the problem of pride. Have you ever been in a position where your pride moved you to do certain things or to live certain way or to buy certain things because you feel like you need to keep that image of who you are up. We might call that our ego. It's the exterior of who we are and how we identify ourselves to the rest of the world and how we interact with those around us. It's very easy to look at something beautiful and say, I want something beautiful because if I have something beautiful, it will make me what? Beautiful. And Jesus says, consider the lilies. They can't make themselves more beautiful than they already are. They're just beautiful. And there's moments when we have to pause and step back and say, all the voices in our head and around us telling us if you get one more thing or you do one more thing, you'll be more beautiful, more attractive, have it together more than you did when you didn't have this. Jesus says, slow down. Consider. Think carefully about. Again, typically before making a decision, think about, contemplate, reflect on, examine, review. Think about and be drawn towards a course of action. Anyone have any decisions that are standing before you that you need to be thinking about? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do in this area or that area? Oftentimes we look for experts, someone who is an expert in this field or that field, someone who can guide us through the process. And Scripture's clear, he who walks with wise people will be what? They'll be wise. But there is a time and a place for the wisdom of our brothers and sisters in our lives, and then there's a time for God to speak to us through the wisdom of his creation. Again, Jesus tells his disciples, his friends, to look at the ravens and then look at the lilies of the field. Let's ask a question. Is there any area in my life where I need to slow down? Is there any area in my life I need to slow down? Where I need to pause and I need to ponder, to consider? I need to ponder something. I need to consider something. I need to wrestle with this. Another way we could say it is it's giving God an open invitation in our lives. When I stop and I ponder and I consider and I think about it, I'm giving God an opening to move in my life. I'm actually recognizing that all people and all things and circumstances in God's creation can be my teacher in that moment. And that God teaches me through his holy word, but he also teaches me through his holy creation. And he teaches me through my holy brothers and sisters. And he teaches me through his holy experts, those who have studied, done the time, and have the experience in whatever particular area that I'm looking for wisdom or understanding or insight. Consider, to ponder. There's something that happens in my heart and my life when I pause and I consider and I ponder. And I just want to share with you what happens in the life of a young mother in that moment in her life when she began to ponder things in her heart. We read in Matthew's gospel that Mary did something. But as he can, rather, this is, let's do Mary first. There we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She considered, she pondered, she meditated on, she allowed it to sink in, not from just a very shallow place, but to go deep into her life. What were those things that she was allowing to sink into her life? The things that she was watching unfold, the testimonies of the Lord that make the wise simple regarding her and Jesus' coming to this earth, the birth of Christ. As Jesus was born and Jesus began to grow as a child, Mary's response was to treasure what had taken place between her and the angels, between her and the shepherds, between her and the wise men. She treasured and she pondered, she meditated on, she hid these things deep down inside. Why? Because God was setting a path for her to walk on in her life that was not a path that was going to be an easy path, but it was a path where there was going to be life and light and love for her as she watched Jesus grow into a man. Mary wasn't the only one who pondered or considered things. No, earlier on in the story of Christ's birth, we read about what took place. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Here's a young man who's betrothed to be married, and he finds out his bride is going to be expecting. It's like, I don't know who the father is, but I'm not the dad. His response brought an angel of the Lord to him. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He did what? He considered these things. There's times in our life when Joseph is considering these things that are hard. I've been called, I'm moving in this direction, and now all of a sudden it feels like everything is falling apart. God, I'm trying to be obedient to you. I'm trying to follow your will in my life. He's considering it. He's wrestling with it, the very core of his being. Am I going to follow what God has called me to follow? He's wrestling with it. Sometimes it opens up an opportunity for us to hear and to receive God's messenger. The angel comes to Joseph. And Mary, she had a lot of preparation for those hard things that were going to come into her life. And so she took those gems, she took those moments of bright light where God was revealed to her, God's provision, where God's love and God's care was there in her life. And she did what? She pondered and she considered, she held it, she meditated on it. She allowed it to sink deep into her life. She pondered it. The definition of pondering is to think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion in one's life. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Eat This Book, says this, reading that enters our souls as food enters our stomachs, spread through our blood and becomes holiness and love and wisdom. Have you ever sat down to eat a meal and you just never stopped to taste that meal? You just wolfed it in? I know that you as mamas have seen your kids or maybe your husband just be so focused on the tasks that are at hand that eating becomes a task and you just do it, just buzz right through. There's times in our lives where we need to stop and we need to savor. We need to allow that food to go into us and be digested and bring life to all that we are. And this idea of slowing down, taking time in our lives daily to pause and to ponder, to reflect, to consider who God is and what God has done and what God has placed around us, His nature, His creation, the people in our lives. It brings health to us in every way, mind, body, soul, all that we are in our lives. I want to ask y'all, do you have a time daily where you slow down, where you think about those things that God has promised you, where you think about those things that are hard that you're struggling with, where you think about the raven that flies overhead, where you think about the lilies of the field? Do you have a time where you slow down and you're still. Smartphones can take a lot of our time and our attention, but they can also be great tools. One of the reminders that I've used over and over again on my smartphone is a daily reminder at noon. It goes off wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. I'll stop for 3 minutes. I'll just, God, I acknowledge that you're here and that I'm with you. I thank you that I'm not alone. It reminds me. Set a new pattern. You know what? Pretty soon, I turn that off, that reminder off, and you know what goes through my mind every day at noon? Oh, my body physically looks forward to that moment where I just stop whatever I'm doing. I excuse myself for 3 minutes, and I just acknowledge, I contemplate, I ponder, I quiet myself in that moment. Early morning is one of my favorite times to have a quiet time, to have a time where I pause and I allow things to digest spiritually, mentally, emotionally, maybe physically too. I don't know what's going on in my stomach necessarily, but there are those times where we pause and we settle down so that we can receive what God has for us. As followers of Jesus, Jesus' words and Jesus' actions bring us to a place where we respond and we ponder and we consider. And that pondering, that considering is to give God an open invitation once again to our lives. An open invitation once again. Jesus invites us to have a relationship with him. There's a beautiful picture in the book of Revelation of Jesus standing outside of a door, knocking, saying, can I come in? Can I be a part of your life? I just want to give us an opportunity this morning. If you haven't opened up your heart's door to receive Jesus and his love for you, to just do that. And it's so simple. It's just simply saying yes to that precious gift of Jesus' presence out front of our door knocking softly. Can I come in? Can I be a part of your life? I just want to pause right now and just have a prayer. If there's anyone here this morning that hasn't opened up your heart, your life, to say yes to Jesus, being a part of who you are on the inside, to do that. So let's do that. If y'all would bow with me. Stars. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. My friends here this morning, if there's one of us here that hasn't opened up our heart to receive your love, Jesus, we just want to pause right now and say, we open up our hearts to receive you, to receive your love, your life, and your guidance in every step of our lives. We thank you so much for being our friend who sticks closer than a brother. We receive you into our hearts right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For my brothers and sisters that are here and we've opened our hearts maybe many years ago to Jesus, this is an opportunity for us to continue to keep our hearts open, the door of our hearts open to Jesus, to stop and to pause every day in our lives, to have a day, maybe a week, where we stop and consider, we ponder the things that God would have for us to see and to hear in our lives. I want to speak this word from Zephaniah chapter 3 over y'all this morning. Your heart is quieted by the love of our Heavenly Father. Your heart is quieted by the love of our Heavenly Father. Quiet me with your love, Zephaniah says. Quiet me with your love. Let's all stand. May the one who feeds the birds and clothes the lilies of the valley, the one who worked in Mary's life, the one who worked in Joseph's life, continue to work in our lives and to remind us, to ponder and to consider, to meditate every day, to slow down and to receive what God has for us in our hearts. Jesus, we thank you so much for knocking on our heart's door and initiating a relationship with us. And we just want to continue to stay open to you and to your direction. We thank you for the still small voice of your Spirit as you call us and direct us. I bless my brothers and sisters with a heightened, just knowing, heightened sense of your words, of your presence, that there would be no doubt or no fear when you are speaking to us. We thank you. We receive it, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.